All right, now it's time for our morning message from Dr. J. Wesley Sabree.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I feel very honored. I am not a doctor in any shape, fashion, or form, but you know, if you want to give me that title, does it come with a pay raise? That's what I want to know. Yes. No pay raise? All right. Yes, yes. All right, do you want me to raise it? I can raise the mic up a little bit. All right, there, I think we've got it up. Okay, I can do what I want since I'm on the payroll. All right, I appreciate that. Can everyone hear me okay? I want to make sure. Fantastic, fantastic. Well, I am excited to be here. I guess it was over a year ago that Enoch Williams contacted me and told me about this incredible conference and that it was coming to our area. And that they were looking for someone to do the Bible study portion. So I get to spend, 3 hours with you over the next 4 days or so. And looking forward to that. But the exciting thing for me is I love saying God's Word. I taught in seminary. I'll be teaching at the seminary, Cincinnati Christian University, in the fall as an adjunct professor. So I love Scripture. I love teaching it. But over the years, one of the things that's really become apparent to me is that sometimes we study God's Word as if it's disconnected from us. We can understand the history or the theology or the doctrine, but we may not really find ways to put it into practice into our lives. And so over the last several years, I've had the opportunity to learn a Bible study method that's really about engaging our faith. And so that's what we're going to do over the next couple days. My hope, and actually my promise to you, is that by the end of this, you'll be able to teach this Bible study. I'm going to hand you a tool over the next couple days that you'll be able to use in your own Bible study, your personal devotional time with God, but then you'll also be able to use it with anyone you meet, a friend, a church group, Sunday school class, a small group. You'll be able to share this methodology in a way that helps people do two really important things. The first thing is we always, every day, need to be asking this question: what is my Father saying to me? Right? What is God saying to me? And be able to clearly answer that question. And the second, and I would say almost as important, right? We have to hear the Father's voice. But secondly, we have to be able to answer the question, what am I going to do about it? And if you think this through, your personality, some of us are great thinkers and reflectors, and we can read God's Word and really dive into it. And that's about where we stay. We have great thoughts, very little action. Others of us, we get an idea and we're running headlong into the action before we really get clarity on what God is trying to teach us. And so the Bible study method that I'm going to share with you helps us to kind of slow that pace down a little bit and ask and answer those two questions. What is God saying to me? What am I going to do about it? Now, before we dive into that, I want to share with you a little bit of sort of my story as briefly as possible and how I got to learn about this methodology. Because it wasn't just a tool that I learned in seminary or a tool that someone taught me at a conference. It was really the culmination of years of pursuing what does it really mean to follow Jesus in a way that I grow in character and competency and that I help other people do the same. I've served in the church for over 20 years. I've taught in Bible college. I've had lots of opportunities to help people think about what it means to follow Jesus. But what I've recognized, particularly in the American church, is we've not been really good at helping people really engage their faith. That what they heard and learned about on Sunday would impact Monday through Saturday. Right? There's been a disconnect. And the weird thing is, if you look at the church globally, overseas, parts of Africa, parts of South America, East Asia, you will see a vibrant faith that is always put into action by these believers. And what I have tried to understand is what really helps them engage their faith, and why have we gotten complacent and comfortable in the American church? And so that's sort of what the tool we're going to learn about today and over the next couple of days is the culmination of asking and answering those kind of questions. So as I said, I've been in ministry for a little over 20 years. I've done youth ministry. I was a lead pastor. I've been a teaching pastor. I was a youth pastor and had served churches in Ohio, Kentucky, and Indiana. And grew up in Morgantown, West Virginia, which means two things, right? One, you all wish you were me. Yeah, that's right. Almost heaven. And two, I didn't talk this way growing up. I still have a little twang, but you know, I can turn it off. I need to if y'all want to hear what I'm going to say. Yeah. So, yeah. So get her. Someone said get her done. That's right. That's right. But my wife and I are both from Morgantown and ended up in Cincinnati, Ohio for Bible college and seminary. And we've been in the Cincinnati area, Northern Kentucky area, for about the first 27 years of our marriage. And about a year ago, in July, we moved to just outside of Louisville. I had an opportunity to lead the discipleship team at a church in Louisville, Kentucky. And so I hopped on I-71 early this morning and headed up this direction. So I used to live about 10 minutes from here, and now it's about an hour and 20 minutes. But still glad to be with you all. And that's enough about me. But I hope to get to know you all a little bit over the next couple days. I'll be in and out because I've got some other commitments. But looking forward to spending time with you diving into God's Word. Now, you are going to help me. I have some large print scripture passages that we're going to use. And I have some other resources that we're going to use to help facilitate our learning this tool. And I want to tell you what it's called. It's called the Discovery Bible Study. I will often say DBS, Discovery Bible Study. And so I'll give you a quick background on it. Over the last sort of 50 or 60 years, Christian thinkers have noticed that the church has begun thriving in very difficult environments, places like China, places like South America, places where Christianity may not be as welcomed or as mainline as it is here in America. And what we do in America is when we want to start a move of God, we figure out how to build one, right? We're smart. We can figure things out. And so we try to build this model of how are we going to help people grow in their faith. And what we've discovered is that when we build the way that we're going to help people grow in their faith, they often don't do it. But people are growing in their faith in amazing ways around the world. And so some really smart people start saying, what if we just observe what God's doing in the world and see what the common characteristics are? And so over about the last 25 or 30 years, there's been a large pool of missionaries that have employed the skills of some sort of researchers and statisticians. Basically, what they've done is said, hey, whenever you see a significant move of God in a place where the church doesn't really exist, what are the factors, what are the things that help cause that? And they've discovered a couple things, and they used some criteria. They said, we would like to see a movement of God that lasts at least 3 years or more and has over 1,000 new converts. And there have been about 600 of these sort of movements globally that we've observed. And they started asking the question, wow, when God starts moving in people's lives and we see a discipleship movement start where the church and the kingdom of God is just flourishing, what are those things that are common to it? And what they discovered were a few simple things. There was always a lot of prayer. There were people that when they became Christ followers, they felt it incumbent upon themselves to help other people become Christ followers. And so everyone saw themselves living out the priesthood of the believers model. Okay, if I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, it is my responsibility and my privilege to help other people become followers of Jesus Christ. And so this really kind of drove this. The other thing was that it was very organic. They didn't have an organizational structure. They didn't have big denomination or big churches. It was just men and women falling in love with Jesus and finding simple ways to share their faith and engaging it very quickly. And so what the researchers in America did was observe this, took notes, and said, wow, there are some characteristics that we see are common to these moves of God. What if instead of trying to fabricate a move of God, we just practice the principles that we see happening other places? And the Discovery Bible Study is a tool that emerged out of that. It's a very simple tool, and the power of this tool is it can be used for evangelism and discipleship. There are incredible stories of people using this tool with people that have no faith background, but it allows them to access the scriptures. And then they get to learn about Jesus. And then they can make a decision of whether or not they're going to follow him. But it allows them into it in a very simple way. And the great beauty of this tool is whether you have gone to seminary or whether you have become just a brand new Christian, if you've not you have very little experience of scripture, you can utilize this tool. So what I want to do is I want to pray with you, and then we're going to jump right into this. And I want to kind of organize you because there's a lot of group participation in this, okay? Are we ready to get into God's Word? Yeah. All right, let's do it. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to come before you as a family and know that as our dad, you want to say good things to us. Sometimes you want to encourage us. Sometimes you want to challenge us. Sometimes you want to wrap your arms around us and tell us that we're beloved. Sometimes you want to shake us up a little bit. Help us to hear both of those equally and to bring clarity to what it is you want to speak to us. We know that your word is powerful, that it is your love letter to us, and help us to open our minds and our hearts to all that you want to pour into us, not only as we live out our lives, but in this very moment, God. We know you're here. We know that you want to speak to us, and help us to engage that as fully as we can. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So here's what we need. If you are in a row with two or less people, I'm going to ask you to find a couple other people to be with you. We don't want the groups to be larger than six, but not smaller than three. So if you're two or one in an aisle, at least turn around or be able to engage the people in front of or behind you so that you have three to six people that you can have conversation with. And if you have some sort of an app or device that helps you engage Scripture, we're going to be looking at Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12.
And we have the Braille handout here.
Fantastic. All right. It's so good to be with you as well. Okay. Perfect. Now we have Braille of the Scriptures, and we also have large print. So I'll walk down the aisles, and you kind of let me know which one you prefer.
You need some help?
Yes. Yes, please. I'd love some help with this. That's the large print. And the large print has the New International Version on one side and the Contemporary English Version on the other side. These are the Braille.
They're the same way.
Yeah, the same way. Oh, let me give you a handful. That's perfect. And I'll give you.
Anybody need a book?
And then, oh, I said, let me, here. And this is the worksheet in large print as well. Yeah, the Braille has the worksheet attached to it, stapled to it. For the print ones, they're separate. So if they need the large print scriptures, they'll also need the large print worksheet. The worksheet is in your left hand, and the Braille is the scripture and the worksheet all put together. Perfect.
I need a Braille copy for my wife.
Okay. Fantastic. Yes.
Who would like that?
So what you'll be receiving, whether it's Braille or large print, are the scripture passages we'll be reading together. You're getting it in two different versions of the Braille and as well as the large print. And in the second sheet you have attached to the Braille is the worksheet that you can utilize for your own personal study or for group study. In the large print, you'll be getting a worksheet as well. And I'll give you another minute or so to get those in your hands before we jump into it. Not have any more prints for a large print. Okay. David has the worksheets. And if we need more, I can make more copies for Wednesday. I apologize if we run out. That's exciting, though, that there's a good crowd here.
Yes, it is. Good problem.
That's a good problem. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, I think we're about ready. If they want to take notes, they can. I'm going to be taking some notes as we talk. And the worksheet, yes, if they want to fill out the worksheet, the print. Do we have any more of the large print scripture passages? I think we may have run out.
Yes, I passed
out. Oh, yeah, they're all passed out. I apologize.
I still got some large print ones. I got some print worksheets here
still. Yeah, if you need a worksheet. Our sound guy needs a large print worksheet.
Yes, sir.
There you go. Thank you.
Bruce, what do you need?
A large worksheet.
Everybody good?
Yes, sir.
I do not.
Oh, okay, well, I guess that was straightforward and simple.
Forgive me, for the whole week, I've been reading doctors on this week. They just pulled off.
No problem at all. No apology needed. Like I said, you can call me doctor anytime you want. All right. Here we go. I want to give you some ground rules for this study. The first study, or the first rule is this. Keep it simple.
Amen.
Keep it simple. There are some questions we're going to ask during the course of our study. Try not to get theological or deep. Just focus on what the text says. And the second rule is, you don't get to bring anything in from a book you've read, from a sermon you've heard, from a song you like, for your favorite TV show. You have to stick with the text. We're going to read a passage, and we're going to ask and answer questions specifically about that passage. And in fact, you're given permission to kind of elbow someone if they bring in extra information. In some of our groups where I train groups to do this, they'll use the soccer metaphor. You ever heard of like a yellow card or a red card when they're playing soccer? We always say, that's that red card, you're out of the text. You have to get back to the text. Or some people use the basketball metaphor. They'll say, that's a foul. Stick with the text. Because what we want to do is not sort of put words in God's mouth, right? Think about other things we know. We want to say, what is God speaking to us in this text in this moment? Now, we want to maintain the integrity of Scripture, so you can't just make up stuff, right? It's got to be in the text, and you got to think it through. But we also don't want to add to it. The beautiful thing about the Discovery Bible Study is that anyone can lead it, because at any given moment, the greatest teacher of all time is right beside you. This tool is designed to let the Holy Spirit do the teaching and get us out of the way. I want to tell you a brief story of how this tool works. We started using this tool in a community group that my wife and I lead. And we had utilized it numerous times. And one evening, I had a meeting and was unable to be at our normal community group meeting. And I said to my wife, hey, hun, would you mind leading? She said, no problem at all. I'll take care of it. So afterward, I said to her, how'd it go? Because, you know, she knew how to use the DBS, the Discovery Bible Study tool. And she said, it was fantastic. I said, well, I'm glad to hear that. She said, yeah, Jerry led. I said, Jerry led? I thought you were going to lead. She goes, Wes, isn't it the reason you use this tool is that after you experience it two or three times, you can actually do it? I said, yeah. She said, well, I sat down. We were getting ready to do the discussion time. And I looked at Jerry and I said, hey, Jerry, why don't you lead? And he said, I don't know how to. You know what? I guess I do, don't I? Because this tool was very simple. I'm going to tell you the secret formula, if you will, right now. 8 questions. 17 words. And you're going to learn those 8 questions and 17 words over the next couple days. And my belief is that by Thursday, when we wrap up, everyone in this room will be able to lead someone else through a Discovery Bible Study. It's that easy. 8 questions, 17 words. And I am going to give you the rubric or the tool for this, but I'm going to give it to you in a couple days. And here's the reason why. A lot of us, particularly in Western culture, we value information. So if I give you the form, you would just go, oh, that's how I do it. What we want you to do is experience it. And then I'll give you the details. So that's what we're going to do today. We're going to experience it together. And that's why I've asked you to be in groups of sort of 3 to 6, because we're actually going to do this study together. I'm going to walk you through it, and I'm going to do what I call color commentary. So some of the things I say today, you wouldn't normally say in the study. But because I'm specifically teaching you how to do it right now, I'm going to give you a little extra added information. But our hope is, over the next 45 minutes or so here, that we are going to, each of us, listen to our Father and have some sort of clear action step we can take as obedience to the Father that loves us. All right, so the first thing we're going to do is we're going to ask a simple question. And it may seem to has nothing to do with the Bible study, but I'm going to tell you why we ask this question. We ask this question because we're trying to get our hearts in the posture of listening to the Father. So the first question we ask, and I want you to share this with your group, you all point at or figure out, call out the name of the person in your group you think should lead your group, and that's the person who's going to lead. What that means is they just go first. So one of the other rules in Lead and Discover Bible Study is that you always go first. So whenever you ask a question, you always answer it to kind of set the tone. And then the rest of the group takes their turn. So that's the one responsibility of the leader, ask the question and answer it. And then let everyone else jump in. So the first question is simply this. What is something from this past week for which you are grateful? What is something from this past week for which you are grateful? And I'll share with you that I have a small group that over the summertime, our schedule was pretty light, and we were able to get together last night, and we shared a meal and a lot of laughter and caught up. So I'm really grateful for great friends who are investing in me, who love me, and who are teaching me what it looks like to love and live like Jesus. So I was really grateful for that time last night because it's been a long time since we were gathered for them. So the other trick is concise, short, 60 seconds or less. So when you answer your questions, it's not a 15-minute monologue on, you know, your third cousin's goiter. You know what I'm saying?
You are from West Virginia.
I am from West Virginia. We want to keep it focused. The other thing is we want everyone to be able to share. And if someone speaks for 10 minutes, not everyone gets to share. So now in your little groups of 3 to 6, share one thing, make it concrete, specific, so you can't say, I'm thankful for God's love. Give us something specific about God's love or some specific event. So make it concrete, specific, 60 seconds or less. Go. So this should take 6 minutes or less. Alright, you've got about 3 minutes left. Make sure everyone has the opportunity to share. All right, has everyone gotten a chance to share something for which they're grateful from this past week? Fantastic. Now, the reason we start with that question is that it positions our heart to listen to God's voice. Something happens when we express gratitude and when we hear other people express gratitude. So this is a preparation question. And the great thing about it is it's not deep theology. Anyone, regardless of where they are in their faith journey, someone who's not a believer at all, could actually be in the room and answer that question. We all have things that have been good, that have happened, that are a blessing to us. And you notice we didn't use any church language. We didn't say, how were you blessed this week? We just said, what is something for which you're grateful? That means anyone can answer that question, right? You start talking about, are you blessed? Some people go, I don't know what you mean by that, right? So we ask that question. What is something for which you're grateful? It also models prayer, right? When we pray, we're supposed to be thankful and tell God of the things for which we're grateful. So the second question is this. Well, let me do this. Everyone repeat after me. What is something from this past week for which you're grateful? You all know step one. Right. Step two, what is something from this past week that was a challenge for you? What is something from this past week that was a challenge for you? Concrete, specific, 60 seconds or less. I'll tell you what it was for me. I have three college students in my household and one that's a senior in high school. The three college students are in a program at the University of Louisville that goes year round. So they only get 2 to 3 week breaks seasonally. And they're actually on that 2 week break right now. And they all moved out of their apartments and brought all their stuff to my house.
Is that all you got?
I love them, but I'm ready for them to go. Okay? All right, so that was my challenge, being gracious and patient with my kids. You all take about 60 seconds or less, share something from this past week that was a challenge for you. All right, has everyone had a chance to share something from this past week that was a challenge for them? We're good? We're good? All right, so here's what this question does. Remember, we're trying to make this accessible to anyone, so we're not going to use churchy language. We're not going to say, hey, what's your prayer request, or how can I pray for you? What we're saying is, hey, what's the challenge you faced last week? So what this does, as far as our posture goes, it puts us in a place where we realize we're imperfect and we have needs. Right. And we know what someone else's issue is, and we can pray for them. So make a mental note of that. Write it down. Put it in your phone. And later, you can be actually praying for someone. So the first question is, what is something from this past week for which you're grateful? The second question is, what is something from this past week that was a challenge? And now we're really developing this posture. So repeat after me. What is something, from this past week, that was a challenge for you? You know the second question. Excellent. So here's the third question. And in our purposes, we're going to actually skip the third question because the third question assumes that we met last week and had a similar discussion. Because the third one said, how'd it go? Right? Because we said, what's God saying to me? What am I going to do about it? What we do now is we build an accountability. hey, last week we talked about God's word and you said you want to do X, Y, or Z. How'd that go? Right? So we're actually going to skip that because we weren't here last week. At least I hope you weren't. You showed up early. All right.
I lived for last week.
Yeah. All right. So now we get to the meat of the Discovery Bible Study. This is where we really dive into the word, right? We've got the room set up, our posture's right, our attitudes, our hearts in the right place to hear what God has to say to us. And so now what we're going to do is we call it read, read, retell, details. So you have two people read the passage you're going to study, and they read it out loud, and you tell the people in the room, don't follow along and read along. Close your eyes. Listen. Take it in. Hear the story, because you're going to try and understand the story. So you find one volunteer in your group who will read it, and that's why we gave you two different scripture translations, one on the front and back of the large print and the Braille, so that you can hear it from two different translations. You don't have to. Sometimes it's helpful, though. So you can do that. So you have two volunteers to read. Then you have a third person who says, you know what? I'll retell the story. I'm just going to listen to the readings, and then I'll retell it. And as the reteller, you're just paraphrasing. You don't have to get in all the details. Keep it under 60 seconds. It doesn't have to be a long story. I was recently teaching this to a group of high-capacity leaders. There were some pastors and former pastors in the room. And one of the former pastors was all excited because he wanted to retell this, right? He hadn't got to preach in a long time. And so he was ready to go. Well, he took forever to tell the story, and he alluded to all kinds of other Bible stories. Like, you know, that was like Joseph in the Old Testament. This was like if you got non-believers in the room, they don't know it was like Joseph, right? So retell the story briefly, because what we're going to do, too, then is we get to the fourth part, details. Remember, read, read, retell, details. The details is that section where the group actually tosses in anything that stood out to them that they heard in the reading of that maybe the person didn't share in the paraphrasing. We're not trying to correct the paraphrase or the retelling. We're just trying to add so that we all have a picture in our minds of what this story is all about. All right? So here's what we're going to do. In your groups of 3 to 5, 3 to 6, you're going to find someone to read it, someone to read it again, someone to retell it, and then all of you kind of pitch in any details that stood out. And remember, the rules are no details, no concepts from outside the text. We're only looking at this passage. So Genesis chapter 12, 1 through 8. In fact, you know what I'll do to save us some time? I will read it first, and then you guys will do the second reading, the retelling, and the details. Okay, I'll read from the NIV, Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. The Lord had said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran. They set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Abram traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he went on toward the hills east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. So now in your groups, have a person read that again. You can do it in the NIV again if your group wants to, or you can flip it over. Large print and the Braille both have the CEV, Contemporary English Version, and you can read that passage again. And again, just listen to it and take it in. Then have that person, another person, retell it. Right? They're going to paraphrase the story. And then toss in any details. And we'll take about 5 minutes or so to do that. All right? Jump into it.
Thank you.
Now remember, when you're giving details, focus on the text. Try not to interpret. Just focus on the text. All right, have you had your reading, your retelling, and your details now? Oh, we still got some. Okay, keep working. You guys are doing great. Wrap up that detail section now. All right, let's bring it back in. So we've asked three questions, we've read some scripture twice, we've had someone retell it, and then we tossed in some details, all the while staying focused on the text, trying to use no churchy language, so regardless of who's in the room, they can engage this conversation with us. And what I say to people a lot of times that when they first learn this, say, Wes, I'm not a Bible teacher, I'm nervous about it. I said, you're not actually teaching the Bible. What you're saying to people is, hey, I want to study God's Word and see what He's saying to me. Would you do it with me? You're actually inviting people to study God's Word with you. You're not the teacher. The Holy Spirit's the teacher. You're just facilitating the conversation. So, first question is, what is something from this past week for which you're grateful? Can you all say that? What is something from this past week for which you're grateful? All right. The next one is, what is something from this past week that was a challenge? The third question that we skipped was, how'd it go?
How'd it go?
Then say, read, retell details.
Read, retell details.
You guys are on this. You're on it. All right, so now what we do, we've read this passage, we've heard this story. Hopefully it's starting to come alive for people in their minds. They've really wrapped their heads around it. And we're going to ask three simple questions. I'm going to give you the three questions, and then we're going to go through them one by one. The first question is, what does this passage teach us about God? The second question is, what does this passage teach us about people? The third question is, what does this passage teach us about obedience or the lack of obedience? So now what you're going to do is you're going to ask this question, what does this passage teach us about God? And you start with someone in the group and go around the group and try to get everyone to answer the question. Now, sometimes you have people who are more willing to engage than others, but my wife and I have employed a few techniques. A lot of times we'll sit beside each other, and that kind of sets the pattern. Like, if I'm leading, I'll answer the question first, and then she'll just jump right in and answer it second and let people know, oh, we're going around the room, without even saying we're going around the room. Now, for you all, it could be a simple touch on the hand. I often use body language. I'll answer the question, and I'll just turn my body to the person beside me, and they'll get that cue, right? They're like, oh, it's my turn. Yes, it is. Or a simple brush on the hand, or just that acknowledgement that, hey, go ahead, you can do this. And this will encourage everyone in the group. Most of the time, almost every single person answers every single question. Again, your answer has to be concrete, specific, to the point. For some of our groups, we actually have them use whiteboards, and they write the answers on the board so they can review them. For some of you, it may be recording them so you can listen to them again, or whatever works for you. But we're going to jump into that right now. Answer this question, each of you in the group, What does this passage teach us about God? No interpretation, no translation, just right out of it. And I'll tell you the thing, one of the things that stands out to me. God calls us to do things we can't imagine. Right? That teaches me something about God's character just from this passage. So now you walk through that. What are some other things that you learn about God from this passage? What does this passage teach us about God? Go. All right, has everyone had the opportunity to answer the question? What does this passage teach us about God? Excellent. Someone share one or two. Let's hear a couple here real quick. What does this passage, this specific passage, teach us about God? He keeps his word. He keeps his word? Okay, where is that in the text? So that's a question to ask. So where is that in the text? Is there a specific phrase or something that tells us he keeps his word?
He tells us to go to Canaan.
All right, so he tells us to go places. He calls us places. I think that's a great one. Yes, ma'am.
God was specific with his directions. Told him to go from your family.
Okay, there was...
Right on.
That's the clarity that we want to hear is that very simply, God gives us direction. He tells us to do something. He may not give us all the details right, but he gave us enough to take action. God's not ambiguous. He may not always be specific, but he's not ambiguous, right? There's some clarity there. That's a good one. Anything else that we learn about God? Yes?
I will be a blessing to you.
He wants to be a blessing to us. That's exciting. That's clearly in the text, right?
Yeah.
Is Pauline?
I think
that's a great observation. Yeah. Yeah, that's a great observation. Now, let me tell you, we'll actually... Oh, I'm sorry, Pauline.
He didn't just, when he got there, he didn't just sit back on his elbows and say, God, well, he built an altar to worship God further.
Okay.
He went
right on. That's all specifically from the text. Now, Pauline, you're really good at this because you've actually jumped ahead to the second question. The second question is, what does it teach us about us? And so that's where... What you saw in the text is really focused on Abram. and what he did, his obedience, his willingness, his faithfulness. Those are things we definitely want to highlight. In this question, we're really concerned with God's character. So the first one's about God. The second will be about Abram. But Pauline, you nailed it. I mean, it was right on, Pauline. Right on. Okay, so I see someone else on the back, on the left-hand side. Yes, sir.
Yes, I'm down here. God makes a promise, he keeps it.
Okay. All right. All right. It's good. Any others? Just yell them out.
God chose who we wanted to get the message.
Okay, I heard one here said God chose someone specific. God chose who wanted to go. What was another one? I heard one over here on my right, the left of the room. Ah, that's a good observation. Yeah. Because this text ends where we read to, we don't see the fulfillment of the promise, do we? We see the promise. So I guess the simplest way, God makes promises. Now we know he keeps them, but we can't prove that from this passage.
We can prove something, not necessarily that he keeps the promise, but that he is with you to the conclusion of keeping the promise. Verse 6 in this passage. Okay, somebody obviously is a demonic. Verse 6, at that time the Canaanites were in the land. So Abram's got to be thinking, okay, this is a land already inhabited, but God's going to give it to me, so I'm a little discouraged. But then the Lord appears to Abram again in verse 7 and says, to your offspring, I will give this land. So he builds an altar before he even knows what's going on, because he knows right. God is, he makes sure his project will succeed. But he, even if he's not completed the promise, he makes sure that you know that he's an on-time God.
So maybe the best way to say that, can I say it again? That God is present with us. Because I think in the text, you can say that. God keeps showing up. He doesn't say, hey, Abram, go. But God keeps showing up on the journey.
I'm sorry, I got a redneck side.
No, that's great.
That's what I was going to say. God made his presence and his word known. They go hand in hand.
Yes.
And this is what most of the time we miss. We look for his presence, but we don't want the word. We want the word, and we don't want the presence. But how do you know he's there unless they two go together? And Abraham was able to recognize the presence and the word of God.
All right, that's good. That's good. All right, let's go to the second question. So remember, focus on the question. You guys are doing really good. You guys are a lot better than a lot of people I teach on this. You guys are doing great. So the first question is, what does this teach us about God? And we're really focused about God's character and who God is and what God does and what God says. The second question is this, what does this teach us about humanity? Or a simple way I often ask is, what does it teach us about us? And so here's what I want you to think about. We tend to, particularly if you've been a Christian for a long time, at least I'm a high challenge person, so whenever I think about what is God saying to me, it's always a challenge. So I have to actually say, wait, is God giving words of encouragement and blessing here as well? So the thing that I observe here about humanity is that we can be obedient, right? Humans can obey. Abram takes a big, bold step of obedience. So now you think about what else does this passage teach us about humanity or about ourselves? Talk about that in your group for a few minutes. Start with someone and each person go around. Remember, try to keep it really concise and specific and focused on what it teaches us about ourselves or humanity. What does this teach us?
Thank you.
All right, everyone had a chance to share what they're learning about humanity or ourselves from this passage. All right, let's get a few of those shared real quick. What was something that stood up? Show me a hand.
Abraham had a choice, the same as we do. And he chose to follow God.
Nice. Excellent. He had a choice. We have a choice. That's a great response to that. We have a choice of whether we're going to be obedient or not. Excellent.
Yes. Sometimes it's hard to listen on the radar jam.
Abraham was going where he didn't know where he was going, following possibly a God he didn't know.
Yes.
As was I as we drove down here following a GPS. I had no clue where I was going. And I just depended on the turn-by-turn instructions.
Right. So maybe a way to succinctly say that is that as we follow God, we trust Him step by step and listen. Even though we can't see where we're going, there's something about taking action, but there's also something about staying in tune, right? So as humans, right. Excellent. Yes.
If we put down roots, we better not put them down too deep because God may have us dig them up.
Right. Well, so as humans, we like roots, don't we? We like comfort.
Yes.
So I think that's a great lesson about humanity is that we like to put down roots, and sometimes they may get torn up. Yeah. Sometimes we can do the right thing. Yes, that's good. Wait, we got someone all the way in the back with the mic.
All right. If we follow what God tells us to do, we will be blessed.
All right. That's good. That's good. All right, we got one lady up here in the second row.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. No, my thing is that I think I'm kind of selfish towards myself. I wonder sometimes if it's God talking to me or if it's me talking to me. Am I doing the right thing? Is that God would wanted me, that he wanted me to choose that path, you know? So
yeah.
When do we really know what is God talking to us?
It lines up with Scripture.
That's a great, great question. That's a great question. All right. And we've got one up front here.
Okay. I'm a late riser during the week when I have to go somewhere, but the Lord laid in my heart and helped me. I get up earlier now. I used to get up at 7:30. Now He's had me get up at 7, and I've been doing that every day.
All right. So that's the way you've kind of applied this. Excellent. All right. Let's go. Yeah. Go ahead, Pauline.
I have a comment that my humanity leads me to do whatever, you know, sometimes without prayer to step out. And I've made so many mistakes through my life. And I've regretted them, and I've suffered them, and God just tells me, you didn't wait for me. You took your own human choice.
Right, right. So as humans, we can jump the gun. We can run ahead of God.
And I regret it, and I say, Lord, how could you love me when I've done this? But I know that He does.
Yes. So you guys are doing a really great job of thinking this through. And so as you share these, what you notice, I've tried to sort of encapsulate what you said in a really short sentence. Pauline just really shared her heart there, and that was beautiful. And so how would we say that? Sometimes we jump the gun. Sometimes we rush ahead of God. That helps everyone in the room kind of remember that key point, right? They'll remember, oh, Pauline shared that really beautiful part. But what's that phrase that kind of sticks with them? I can run ahead of God, right? That teaches us really something about humanity in a very specific way for Pauline. Thank you, Pauline. Beautiful.
Yeah, but we also, if we willingly disobey God, we have to pay the price for that sin.
There are consequences, which moves us to our third question. So the third question, let us do this real quick. First question is, repeat this. What does this teach us about God?
What does this teach us about God?
Second question is, what does this teach us about humanity or ourselves? And the third question is, and sometimes as you get used to this, you'll be able to clarify and answer the questions more specifically, because the third question is, What does this teach us about obedience or the lack of it? So some of our responses to the second question is, what does this teach about humanity? They taught us a little bit about ourselves, but they also tied into the idea of obedience. So now what we do is kind of shift that. And as you guys practice it, you'll get better and more specific at answering these questions. So the first one's, what does it teach about God? What does it teach about humanity? And we're really looking at character there. And obedience is really about action or the results of it. So from this passage, what does this teach us about obedience? And I'll just say that as I look at this passage, it teaches me that if I am obedient to God, at least from the passage, He keeps showing up.
Amen.
Right? So obedience allows me to hear God. Maybe is the way I'd say it. Obedience allows me to better hear God. Now you all, think about obedience. What is a simple way that you learn about obedience from this passage? All right, did everyone have a chance to share? Oh, we've got one group still doing a few things. Excellent. Yes, sir. I'm of that age. I do. All right. We'll give you about 2 minutes. Wrap this up. I realize, too, I'm over time, and I don't want to mess up your schedule, so we're going to wrap it up really quickly.
Says you.
I don't want to stand between food and anyone. About 1 minute. Let's make sure we really focus on answering this question. What does this passage teach us about obedience? Okay, here we go. Let's wrap them up. So what does this passage specifically teach us about obedience? Raise your hand because we'll bring the mic to you. We want everyone to hear what you have to say. We'll grab 3 or 4 of these real quick.
When we obey God, it pleases Him and He blesses us.
All right.
You don't want me to start talking. God is responsible for the outcome.
That's right.
Yeah.
You will have peace when you obey God.
Okay, excellent.
And if you don't obey, you got to pay for that disobedience.
When you obey God, His will is accomplished more quickly than if you don't.
Excellent. Well done, well done. So I heard a couple others as people were talking. One thing they said is obedience typically costs us something. And think about that, leaving your family behind, leaving your home, your place of origin, probably the only place you ever really knew, and he just packs up everything and takes it. And so obedience can be challenging, it can be costly. I think it's far less expensive than the alternative, though. So those are the three questions then that really are the meat of getting into God's Word. What does this passage teach me about God? What does it teach me about humanity? What does it teach me about obedience? And you can use this in your own personal devotions. A lot of times we just read through Scripture and go, wow, that was nice, God. What if we stopped every time we read Scripture and said, God, help me answer these three things? Now, what we would do in our group is we would go back through and recite and toss back out, say out loud some of the things we heard. We might read them off the whiteboard, or we might have someone read them off their phone. But you guys have heard them because we shared them out loud. So now what we do, this is the action step. We're going to take a minute of silence, and during this minute, we're going to reflect. And I'm always careful not to say pray, because I may have someone in the room who goes, I'm not really a prayer, but I'll at least listen. And I'll try to figure this out. But what we're doing is we're reflecting and saying, if this passage is true, what should I do about it? And you put that into the form of an I will statement. And it has to be concrete, specific, and measurable, right? I will blank. So we're going to take a minute, think about that, and then I'll have you share your I will statement with your group. So take a minute of reflection and build an I will statement based on what we have just discovered from God's Word. All right. What we're in right now is what we refer to as the transformational part of this. As we come to God's Word and we listen to the Father speak into our lives, it's when we hear His voice and take action that transformation begins. It opens us up to what the Holy Spirit wants to do in our lives. So for me, as we were working through this passage, as I reflected on it, well, the thing that stood out to me is that I've got a couple big things that I need to do. And I've been kind of occupying my time recently with some meaningless things to kind of distract myself. And so my commitment is that this week, the meaningless things, whether it's being on my phone or engaging in stuff that just maybe was fun but not important, that this week I'm going to clear my schedule of those things so I can focus on two of these three really important things I need to get done. Because they're clearly acts of obedience, and I've probably been delaying a little bit. So for me, I need to clean up some of the stuff I've been filling my time with. That's what I'm going to do so I can take a step of obedience. That's mine. And so you want your I will statement to be pretty specific. You want to think of specific things you're going to do. So don't use word like more and better. I just want to trust Him more. That's not very concrete. How do you know at the end of the week if you've trusted Him more? Think of an action, something very specific you're going to do. I will, so that at the end of the week you can say, you know what? I did that. I took that step. So now, share that with your group quickly, what your I will statement was. Take about one more minute. These should be, 30 seconds or less statements, so it doesn't take long. Okay. So, anyone want to share their I will statement?
I will read my Bible more so I know what God wants me to do.
Excellent.
I will trust and obey.
Nice. Hold on a second. They're going to bring the mic to you if you have your hand up.
I'll meet a challenge that I've been working on, and and I pray for wisdom to do it.
Excellent.
I'm going to try to be a little bit more quiet before things get too rushed.
Nice.
I'm going to journal whatever my thoughts are that God has given me. Journal it so that I can look back on it, because I can easily get distracted. Distracted, I'll just look back at my journal.
Nice. Let's do one more. I see one more hand.
I'm going to step out in faith and trust God to be able to help me get around outside my home.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one. Thank you all. Well, well done. One thing to think about as you practice this, get more and more specific. I love when we say things like we're going to read scripture. That's powerful. I love when we say things we're going to trust and obey. I heard that one. I love it, too, when we get real specific about I'm going to journal something. I will tell you this. One of the things we do as believers is our tendency when we have a challenge is we often will say things like, I'm going to read my Bible and pray more. Sometimes God wants us to quit reading our Bible and pray and actually take some sort of real world action. So think about that, too. So you guys did a great job today. I'm going to tell you the last two questions and we're going to wrap it up, because on Wednesday, we're going to do this again with a different passage, and you guys are going to become pros at it. And then by Thursday, you guys are going to lead it. So the next question we would ask after your I will statement would be simply this. Who is someone with whom you can share either your I will statement or the study? Hey, I was reading scripture this week and here's what I learned. Can I share it with you? And you actually can walk someone else through the DBS. So you think about that person that God may cause you to cross paths with, whether it's at work or play or whatever, and you can share that. And then you ask the final question is, what is something that's going to be a challenge for you this coming week? And that is actually a way that you can do two things. You can be praying for that person for the coming week, but you can also put action to your community. If someone says, hey, I'm helping my mother move and we're renting a U-Haul, you can say, how can I be there and help? Right? So the challenge is an opportunity for the body of Christ to respond not only with prayer, but with action. And that's how you wrap it up. So it's eight questions, and I'm going to say the eight questions for you, and then we're going to wrap it up. So the first one is, what is something for this past week you're grateful? What is something from this past week that was a challenge? How'd it go after our study last week? And then we're going to read, retell, details. Then we ask, what's this passage teach us about God? What's this passage teach us about humanity? What's this passage teach us about obedience? What's your I will statement? Who can you share it with? What's the challenge you're going to face? Very simple. Father, we thank you that you speak into our lives, that you speak the truth to us, both words of encouragement, of affirmation, and words of challenge, and pushing us into new areas. Thank you for this beautiful body of believers, this family that have come together to celebrate you and to grow in their faith. Would you continue to bless each moment of these days together and make them rich and full and complete? And may you speak into every moment, and may we hear your voice in a new and a fresh way. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you all so much.
Thank you so much, Pastor Wesley. We're looking forward to having you back on Wednesday. Okay, everybody, it's around 10 minutes to 12. We will adjourn now. About 2 o'clock, we will reconvene in this room with our afternoon seminar, which will be led by Faith Meadows. Okay, everybody have a good lunch. And our exhibits will be here also.